Hello and welcome to another Spodcasters episode here at the Journal World and KUSports.com. I'm Matt Tate, KU football beat writer, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Keegan, our fearless sports editor. Any fears today, Tom?
Just afraid of Chris Martin, that's all.
Okay, well, one fear then. No longer fearless. Basketball season is over. I know people don't like hearing that, but it's true. So we're back into spring football, hardcore here. You saw Chris Martin for the first time this week at an open practice, in pads, helmet on, shoulders 12 feet in the air. I know you were impressed by what you saw. What do you like about Chris Martin, the defensive end?
He's big and he's bad, and I remember they had a, and I'll remember his name before this is over, they had a junior college defensive end that they were very high on. He had been recruited by Michigan out of high school, and Woods was his name.
Quentin Woods.
And, you know, because he was fast, well, Quentin Woods' arms were basically at his side, and Martin's arms are like two buzzsaws, going at all times. He always has plans for those arms. He's always doing something with them, and he busts some good moves to get to the quarterback. I think this guy's a real exciting potential, a real exciting prospect.
Yeah, he not only does he look the part, which we've both talked a lot about, you know, that's what they're supposed to look like. That's what a guy that could be nasty at that defensive end position, that's what you see at other teams, on other teams. But not only does he have all those physical traits, he's got the mind for it, too. I mean, he's a nasty guy.
And on the field, yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, in the short time we've been around him, he's become one of my favorite guys already.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
I like his personality. I like his sense of humor. I like his energy. He's happy to be here. And for a guy who, you know, was recruited by Notre Dame and then ended up at Florida and then bounced from there and went to a junior college and you know, finally ended up here, I really do get the sense that this is a guy that feels like he's finally found a home. And that has a lot to do with Charlie Weiss and his relationship there, but it also has to do with...
It also has to do with the vacuum at that position.
Exactly.
He's well aware of it.
This is exactly what I was going to say. The opportunity to come in here and finally prove that he could be the guy that many, many people were saying he was all these years. So he's an exciting guy to keep an eye on, and I know both you and I have him at the top of the list. We were out there the whole practice. Coach Weiss opened it up for the media. Start to finish, he did a lot of special teams work like he likes to do when he opens those up for us.
Yeah.
But no complaints here. I think with this team especially, you can learn a lot from even watching special teams. So, but we were out there hour, 45 minutes, something like that on Tuesday. What else did you take away from that?
Well, I wanted to get blown away by a wide receiver, anybody, and I wasn't. But, you know, they were doing some drills and still too many drops.
Yeah.
Saw too many balls hitting the turf. But I didn't see McKay drop anything, and I didn't see Christian Matthews drop anything. And so right there, those two guys maybe kind of moving to the front of the pack.
Yeah, certainly could be. That was one of the more entertaining drills, the one-on-ones with the cornerbacks and the D-backs. And, you know, that's always fun because those guys get chirping a little bit. And they're competing, and you know, both Jake Heaps and Michael Cummings are throwing balls to him. And, you know, it's about as competitive as it gets for at least the portions of practice we get to see. So that was fun. I thought the offense got the better of them overall, which, you know, not necessarily an indictment to the defense because it's just one drill. You know?
And Colin Spencer can really, really move. The freshman running back who graduated a semester early, number 20, he's fast.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows how much time there'll be for him, but I think Charlie wants to play him right away and not redshirt him. And he really is fast.
I'd be willing to bet good money that there'll be packages where he's involved.
Yeah.
And you know, he's not 100% the same player as Tony Pearson, but he could fill the same role, certainly.
Right.
And so that's great now because maybe you fill that, you know, you fill your backfield up or your splits up with guys that are like that. Puts a lot of pressure on the defense, but it's great even for beyond because Tony's now a junior.
Right.
This kid's just a freshman, so... it's really been fun to watch him kind of get his feet wet and get himself established as a college football player. You know, I think that one of the things that really jumped out to me that I enjoyed a lot was a lot of talk, a lot of chatter. Most of it good, most of it positive. Jake Heaps had his talk going almost the whole practice. I mean, you know, picking guys up. Coaching guys, you know, bringing guys together and saying, "Pick, let's go! Hey, get yourself in gear. Let's get to work." I mean, just total leadership that you see. But even when guys would drop balls, I mean, I'd see a receiver drop a ball, and then the next receiver in line would say, come on, you know, whoever it was. And it wasn't necessarily, you know, there's no malice there. It wasn't like talking trash or anything like that. It really is that whole concept that they've been selling since the beginning of spring, and that's accountability. And that these guys are, they're bought in and they're together, and it's not about individuals. It's about the team's tired of being 1-11. And I thought, you know, in the short time we were there, you could still see that. I mean,
yeah, and a drop ball is a lack of concentration.
Right.
And if you're not going to concentrate in practice, you're not going to concentrate late in the games when you're tired. So that's why they get all over that, and that's significant stuff. And then at the other end of the passes, I think there's a noticeable difference in how the ball that Jake Heaps throws and the ball that Michael Cummings throws. Cummings has one speed. He's like the closer who comes in throwing 95 miles an hour. I don't see a lot of touch on his ball, and I see a tighter spiral from Heaps than anybody, and also he seems to be able to put some touch on the ball.
I agree with that, and he throws on the run a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, Michael can move. We saw that last year.
He's a good runner on a running play.
Exactly, but yeah. He wasn't able to square himself and throw on the run. And, you know, part of that's with a lack of touch. If you can't do that, you know, yeah, you're taking a lot away.
So I think that Heaps' health is a huge, huge factor. We said that last year about Dane Chris, and it turns out he was healthy and got beaten out. But that was an issue of the thundering feet. A guy coming off knee injuries, I'm convinced that it was.
Sure.
That it was that. When you've gone through the serious knee injuries he has, when you come back again, it's either you can hang in there and you don't hear the footsteps, or more likely you do hear them and
Chris looked like,
yeah, that the footsteps were louder than ever, and that really led to him not being what he looked like in practice the previous spring. That's never been an issue with Heaps. Heaps was beaten out. Then the guy who beat him out was injured for two games, and Heaps played great in those two games. Didn't win his job back, which, you know, give him credit. He thought that was unfair, and he bolted.
Sure. And, you know, part of, I haven't done a ton of research on it, but a little bit, and part of what happened there was the idea of the other guy maybe just fit that system and what they want to do a little bit better. And
he since has been replaced.
Well, there you go. Yeah, so maybe not. But either way, this system fits Jake Heaps. There's no question about it. I mean, he can make all those throws. He's got the big arm, just like Dane did. Michael Cummings does too, but you're right. I mean, Heaps has a different release point. I just think he looks like everything you expect a quarterback to look like. And I thought that at times about Dane last year, but now that I can kind of compare the two, it was more robotic, and Heaps has more of a feel out there.
Yeah, I agree, and there were whispers last spring that, yeah, Chris looks good, he throws a good ball, but he's more of an incubator guy, whereas Heaps can improvise when things break down around him. They didn't think Chris could, and as we saw, he couldn't, didn't have the mobility, and they were saying last spring that they liked Heaps better. They weren't saying that publicly, because you don't do that to your quarterback, Chris, but those were the whispers I was hearing then, that even then they liked him better than Dane Chris. So maybe the best thing that for Jake Heaps in terms of not having a heap of expectations thrown on him is that Dane Chris failed, and immediately people saw, is this going to be another Dane Chris?
Sure, sure. Yeah, and I mean, not only expectations from that standpoint, but also the idea that he got to sit out and get comfortable and understand the terminology, and Coach Weiss and some of his teammates, certainly Justin McKay, and we're able to kind of put together a little rapport. So
Jimmy Mundine, I was talking to him about the rapport they have built, and it's significant.
It's funny, all of these guys, whether it's Tony Pearson or Jimmy or any of these receivers or guys that could catch passes, any of them that you talk to, they say, yeah, I've got a pretty good relationship with Jake. Yeah, yeah, we've got a nice rapport. They're all working really hard to develop that relationship,
yeah,
because they all want the ball thrown to them.
Sure.
You know,
it's great to be the quarterback, isn't it?
Absolutely. I wouldn't know, but
I had two fast brothers in the backyard games. I was a quarterback, and I loved it.
I've heard that story.
They made me look good.
That's good stuff, though. I mean, I think that's true. I think that that shows not only that, but also the fact that Jake Heaps is the leader of this team, and these guys understand, hey, we want to succeed. We want to do well. We want to be a part of this. We've got to be on his page.
Yeah, that's true, but leadership only is as good as your performance. So he's got to perform.
No doubt.
Because, you know, we Chris didn't perform, so you can't really have a leader who's not performing. And when Elijah Johnson had a good game, he was a good leader. And when he didn't play as well, you can't really follow someone who's not having a great game.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, it's hard to believe that, you know, we're nearing the end of spring ball. Partly the weather is to blame for that. I don't think it's felt like spring yet, but also throwing it right in the middle of March Madness and, you know, all the overlap there, it certainly has been interesting. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, what do you think were the biggest question marks or maybe biggest areas of concern going into the spring, and then maybe we'll talk about how they addressed those or if they did?
Well, certainly wide receiver is one, because obviously the most bizarre stat that everybody knows about, 0 wide receiver touchdown receptions a year ago.
Yeah.
Just amazing. And really, Mark Thomas is a junior college recruit who has some size and some speed, but he's not here yet. So we'll see how he'll fit in. That's the guy that I seem to be hearing has the best chance at making an impact right away. So that'll be interesting to see.
Rod Coleman, another JUCO guy.
Right, and I'm not hearing his name as often.
Yeah, he'd been compared to, you know, not at the same level, but a Desmond Briscoe type of player down the field. Not blazing speed, not overwhelming physical ability, but just one of those guys that gets free and makes plays.
Yeah, has a knack.
We'll see, yeah. I mean, they're both going to be behind all these guys when they get here, and how quickly they can vault up the depth chart will obviously determine how quickly or how much they play. But I think they'll have opportunities. I mean, Coach Weiss has not been shy at all about saying, these guys that are coming still, I'm going to throw them out there. I'm not going to just sit them on the bench and wonder what they can do. I'm going to throw them out there and see too. So
right,
even though they'll be late and they'll be behind, they're going to get a fair shake.
Yeah, and the other thing I noticed was what good a shape that most of the players are in. Mm-hmm. Is compared to what we saw in Turner Gill's first year, and it's gotten a little better every year, and that's the way weight training has to be, is gradual and
right,
and nutrition and everything else. And the guy who's noticeably slimmer, and we were saying this a year ago, and now he looks even more streamlined, is James Sims. So he's just looking to have a real monster senior season.
Let me do this exercise with you. If you put the number 3 jersey on James Sims, would you think it was Tony Pearson?
No.
Close?
Looks-wise?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, he's still got broader shoulders and stuff, but yeah, he's really, really
noticeably. You would have never said, even from a distance before, that was possible.
Right,
now,
exactly.
If you're on one end zone and you look across the field, maybe, you know, maybe. It's...
Well, watching Pearson do those cone drills and stuff, or if that's what you call them, I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
The guy just, like, glides.
I love watching Tony do anything. I mean, he out there on the football field, he's that really stood out to me too. He ran routes in the flat. He ran routes over the middle. He ran routes down the seam. He ran go routes. He carried the ball. You know, I know a lot was made last year about can't give Tony Pearson enough touches for Charlie
right.
Weiss. I think that's going to be even magnified this year because this guy, they found new ways to use him. They're not switching him to wide receiver. Charlie Weiss has pointed that out a bunch of times. I've had to do it on Twitter and on message boards and comments. They're not switching him to wide receiver, but they will ask him to run more routes. And I think they'll put a lot of pressure on defenses because it looks, from what we saw yesterday or Tuesday, it looks like they, you know, they're going to put pressure all over the field with him. And as fast as he is, he can get in space anywhere out there.
And the good thing is Charlie has enough options at running back where he doesn't have to wear them out. He'll
right.
he'll use them wisely, obviously with Sims and Bourbon and Taylor Cox. And Taylor Cox is an excellent back.
Yeah.
And then with Colin Spencer doing the, you know, the more explosive plays or that you want Pearson for. If Pearson needs a series off, you give him a series off and you'll find other options.
Yeah, Charlie said a couple weeks ago, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing with Tony if I didn't have faith in Brandon Bourbon and Taylor Cox. So, you know, that's credit to all those guys.
Right.
I mean, that speaks very highly of all of them. And it talks, obviously, about their biggest and best position, the most depth, the most talent. What a absolute luxury for this team, because if they can get all the other pieces around it in shape, you know, they have a chance to make significant improvement, I think, because that running game has a chance to be, once again, as good as any in the conference and maybe as good as any in the country. I mean,
it is a really good running game because you've got versatility and you've got depth,
right.
Amazing depth. Now, Will the run blocking be as good this year as it was last year? That brings us to the next area of concern, the offensive line. It's just when you lose three fifth-year guys who were longtime starters. I mean, Tanner Hawkinson started every game of his career.
Yeah, wow.
Dwayne Zlatnick started for, what was it, 3 years?
Yeah,
Rangelli for 3 years. So that's a, I mean, I counted up once something like 109 starts or 110 or something like that, and you just, that's awfully difficult to replace. Now, Aslam Sterling looks like a completely different athlete, completely different body from a year ago when he was brand new playbook, brand new competition, speed of competition, and with a body that was not what it is now. So you can look for big improvement from him, and you saw some improvement during the season a year ago.
Yeah, I tell you what, there's been a lot of new faces. It's been cool to see some of these new guys already here in the spring. Eight or nine of them came over at semester. That's been exciting. I saw even some of the returning guys and even the coaches. There was that hope in the air again, a little bounce, a little, you know, the start of a new season. And the coolest thing is that'll start all over again in August when that whole second crop of guys gets here.
Right.
And then it's really go time because the season is just a few weeks away at that point. So it's been a productive spring. I feel like in talking to the coaches and in talking to some of the players, you know, they feel like they're making progress and they're getting good work in this spring. Probably one of the biggest areas is probably just being able to sort of pick up where they were and move forward instead of having to learn it all from the beginning again.
So. Right, and you know, ideally you don't split up the spring with the spring break. Doesn't seem to work that well usually, but Charlie's explanation and his candor is really appreciated. He always lets you know why he's doing something.
Yeah.
And that was to not cheat himself out of recruiting time.
Right.
He explained that very well, and you always like to hear that because if you're not thinking recruiting 365 days a year, they don't let you recruit that often, but if you're not at least thinking it and basing decisions on it, you're not going to elevate the program to the degree it needs to be elevated because you're starting as the 10th best out of 10 talent-wise in the Big 12, and it's not even close.
There's a line that I think Mark Mangino used it some, and I know a lot of other coaches even in other sports have used it about recruiting. It's like shaving. If you're not doing it every day, you start to look like a bum.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, that's magnified at a place like Kansas competing against the teams in the Big 12.
And, you know, Mangino wasn't saying that you look like a bum because you just have that 5 o'clock shadow. You did shave this morning, but...
Yeah, like an hour ago.
Yeah, that's, you know...
It happens.
Maybe people mistaken for Sean Connery or something.
There you go. Well, on that note, before we get into famous Scottish actors, we'll call it a day, and we'll save the rest for another podcast. We get a couple more days of access, and then, of course, the spring game on April 13th, and we'll have a lot of great coverage from that because I know once people got over the hangover of the basketball loss, I can see the excitement for football starting to build again. So we'll make sure to have it all for you. So
that's a Saturday, the spring game, right?
That's right. Saturday, April 13th, 1 p.m., Memorial Stadium. Should be fun. It's going to be here soon. So, but we'll have plenty before then and after then. So check us out at kusports.com often, and we'll talk to you guys next time. Thanks for listening.